tells us verses 1 to 4, that's the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And he goes through and gives us the gospel. Gospel means good news. It is good news. I'm telling you, some of you need to tell your face it's good news, but you don't understand. It's been a tough week, and it just started, so it's a good week. But he says a lot of good things in here. He says, the gospel, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye've received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. And then he gives us the points of the gospel. He says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now that is good news. I believe that as you read the book of Acts, you see that this good news is what really was the spark, the excitement of the church. The early church, you say, well, they suffered, they were martyred, many of them died. But they weren't worried about dying because of the gospel, because Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. And though there is certainly that apprehension about death, they saw him. Many of them saw Jesus, as Stacy just sang about, and they knew that he conquered death. And so they were excited. They would not have, and as we see, certainly there was great persecution. Many lost their lives at the sword and in prisons and all of that in the persecution. But because of the resurrection, they just kept going. And I'm afraid sad to say, we've kind of lost sight of that, I believe, in much of Christianity, because we let the economy scare us. We let job issues worry us. We let all these things get to us when, the resurrection, it's the foundation of what we believe. And this isn't the end here, okay? It's not the end. If you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you some bad news, you can always go to your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, and you can get some good news, because it's not the end. It's not the end. The greatest doctrine, I believe, in really as far as Christianity is concerned, the foundation is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about three words in verse 4. He rose again. The wonderful resurrection. He rose again. Father, bless now as we look into the scripture. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. I pray that you will, because of the resurrection, Lord, that you'll encourage us, that you'll help us in tough times, that you'll inspire us and get us excited about the things of God, and that you'll help us to get busy serving you and telling others this good news. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if Jesus were not raised from the dead, the Bible would be false. We could throw our Bibles in the trash. The church would just be a social club, like actually some are. Christianity would just be another cult, like there are many of today. Again, without the resurrection, there would be no gospel. There wouldn't be any good news. What would be good? There would be nothing good to talk about. If the resurrection is true, which it is, then everything's got to be true. That's why it's so crucial. That's why it's a foundation of what we believe. I mean, if the resurrection is true, then really you must be born again. If the resurrection is true, and I'm going to do my best to prove to you today that it is, but if the resurrection is true, then there is a heaven, there is a hell. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, then you so far have made the wrong choice. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Again, if the resurrection's true. If the resurrection's not true, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. You can just go on with your life, do your thing, and everything else. But if the resurrection's true, then there is a heaven, there is a hell. Jesus died on the cross to provide a way for you to go to heaven so you would not have to go to hell. And Jesus said in John 2, verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Other times he said that he would give his life, and then he would take it back. I'm just saying that without the resurrection, if it's not true, Jesus was a liar. Jesus did not tell the truth. We know, of course, the resurrection is true. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Bible says he was raised again for our justification. That means he was raised so that God the Father could look at us and say, not guilty. Amen. Not guilty. Now, we are guilty. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again, then God can now say, not guilty. Oh, you know, when the devil accuses, when the devil points a finger and says, that person, they're sinners. They sinned against you. Jesus stands and says, by the way, he stands because he's alive. Amen. And he says, I paid the price for them. I shed my blood for them. He is our defense attorney. Not guilty is the claim. If the resurrection is true, we are justified. Without, of course, Jesus is not God. Romans 1:4 says he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You know, other religions, and there are many, many religions and cults and everything out there, their founders are buried and they're still buried. I mean, their founders died and they're still dead. Their founders, they had big ceremonies and everything else, and in many cases said, well, they'll rise again, but they're all dead. They didn't. Satan hates the resurrection. Men deny the resurrection. In Jesus' day, the Sadducees denied it, and one famous preacher once said that's why they were sad, you see. By the way, if I didn't believe in the resurrection, I'd be sad too. If you didn't have the resurrection, you would have reason to be sad as well. You look at our economy. You look at the way things are going. You look at job situations, housing, all these different things. And you know, without the resurrection, it would look awful bleak. But Jesus did rise from the grave. And death has lost its sting. Amen. And you know, that was the power of the early church. Acts 4:33 says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power. And as they preached, they knew. They knew. This isn't it. I'm concerned with Christians today because I think Christians today have forgotten that this isn't it. I'm concerned, you know, when we go to work and when we're around the rest of the world, we've allowed their thinking to invade our own minds so that we kind of wonder, is there really a heaven? Is there something else? Oh, because of the resurrection and what we celebrate today, because of the resurrection, there is a wonderful future ahead for God's people. There really is. And it is something to be excited about. The disciples, very, very clearly, they knew he is risen. And they knew that he rose. And that was the power in the book of Acts. And we'll talk about that again. Several things I want you to see this morning. First of all, the resurrection foretold. Secondly, resurrection facts. Third, the resurrection force. And the last thing is resurrection fervor. The first thing, the resurrection foretold. It's not just something that happened. It was something that God said was going to happen, and it happened. By the way, we have the same truth with the second coming of Christ. God says it's going to happen. Well, let me just tell you this. God said the first coming of Christ was going to happen, and it happened just like he said. Said that Jesus would be born of a virgin. That happened just like he said. And just like he said he would die, just like he said he would be buried, and just like he said he would rise again, he did. And guess what? He said he's coming again too. And he will. And one day in heaven, we'll all talk about it. One day in heaven, we'll rejoice about it. Just as we can rejoice today. Hey, God foretold that the resurrection was going to take place long before Jesus was born. Psalm 16:10, it said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. How could that be said? Because he would come up from the grave, he would rise, and it would happen just like he said. Jesus himself said to the Pharisees when they were seeking a sign, he said, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It was the sign for the Pharisees. What sign? The resurrection. Oh, they denied it, they doubted it, they disbelieved it, but the disciples said, wow, we love it. We embrace it. Hey, how about you today? Do you love it? Do you embrace it? Did you think that today was just about Easter's laying, or Easter's, yeah, about bunnies, Easter bunnies laying eggs? And by the way, they don't. Some of you are going to be disappointed. You know what I like about all of that and the whole thing? Certainly not the bunny, but I really like those hard-boiled eggs. Glory to God. And, of course, I used to like the chocolate eggs, but, yeah, you can like those, but I can't. Well, I can like them, but I just can't appreciate them. Notice, you know, in Jesus' day, a lot of people, by the way, it's always been this way, people claim deity. There's always been people out there claiming to be God. There's always been people calling themselves Christ. There's always been, it's going to get worse. The Bible talks about in the last days, there will be people going and saying, there's Christ, and there's Christ, and there's Christ, and many are going to claim it. But you know, here's the thing you have to understand. Many claim deity, but the sign that God said, I will show you is Christ rose from the grave. It's not just a tale. It's not just, you know, people say, oh, you know, this person said that, and you know, I told him, well, prove it. Do you need witnesses? We have the witnesses. It's written, amen? It's written in the Word of God. It really happened, amen? We'll talk about that in a minute. But it was foretold. He said he would die. He said he would be buried. He said he would rise again. One time a skeptic was talking to a little Christian girl, and the skeptic said, well, said, which Christ do you worship? She said, the one who rose from the dead. Amen. Hey, that'll work. I'm telling you. Somebody gets in your face about your God and gets in your face about what you believe. Just tell them, well, you know, I worship the one who rose from the dead. They can't copy that. Nobody can. Folks have tried. There's bodies all over the place frozen. And they're hoping to bring them back. Doesn't work. It just doesn't work that way. Oh, you say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars and be frozen. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands. Just live in Michigan, amen? Die in Michigan. Bury yourself out in the backyard. You may not ever thaw out. But you know, look at Matthew 16, verse 21. Oh, I love it. Matthew 16, 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Keep your place in 1 Corinthians. We'll go back there. Matthew 16, 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Can you imagine Jesus teaching the disciples that? This has to happen, he said. This will happen. I am going to go to Jerusalem and I am going to be treated terribly by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and they are going to kill me. And I am going to die. And I am going to be buried. And I'm going to be raised again the third day. And I'm sure the disciples, you know, they probably, boy, you know, I've never heard of anything like that. That's just hard for me to imagine. You know, or maybe they just kind of let it pass by because some of them thought, you know, that he was going to be the king and he'd put down anything that was going on like that. It's just amazing to think that he told them exactly what was going to happen. And you know what? That is exactly what did happen. No man could know these things ahead of time. Do you understand? We can't even predict the weather right. You know, just when we think we have it figured out. I mean, I'm one of these. I like to look at the weather. And Brother Kelvin and I, you know, sometimes we'll kid around about the weather report. And especially during softball season, which we didn't have last year. But he was always hoping it would rain. Oh, it rained the whole season, all right. But these, you know, they'll make their prediction. Well, you saw it in the winter. Oh, we're going to have this blizzard. It's going to hit, no doubt about it. 30 inches of snow, no question about it, and it's 70 degrees the next day. Maybe not quite that bad. But we can't even predict the weather. I mean, we have a hard time. It's very difficult. And by the way, if we could predict the weather, can you imagine? We'd be depressed every time it was supposed to be bad weather. But we can't even predict the weather. Can you imagine? The Bible, God foretold the resurrection. That's the thing. You know, when you're dealing with Bible prophecy and God telling us what is going to happen, God's not predicting anything. God's just telling you, here's what I'm doing. This is what's going to happen because God makes it happen. Amen. And so the resurrection foretold. Again, if the resurrection's true, it's all true. It's all true. Number two, not only do we see the resurrection foretold, but we see the resurrection facts. Resurrection facts. There are many, many facts in the Bible that you have to look at. And I hope you'll listen. Maybe you're here today and you know, this is all kind of new to you, and you're already offended because I ripped on the Easter bunny. And, because you thought that's all Easter was about. And let me tell you, well, that's how I grew up, to be honest with you. I didn't know anything about that. I just was excited about getting some chocolate eggs and stuff. But you know, there are so many facts about the resurrection. And, of course, they come out of the Bible, but they've lasted and lasted and lasted. And other books, other authors, early church authors, write about the resurrection. And there are some facts, you know, and just a little common sense as well. And I think through this often. And it's very, very important to me. And it was as I was a new Christian trying to decide, you know, exactly what I believe about all this. And now think about this, all right? There was a trial. And by the way, other history books besides the Bible talk about the trial. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was killed. All right? No question about that. There's no doubt about that. The religious leaders knew his prediction. Now, stay with me here. The religious leaders knew that he had predicted that he would rise again. Now, in their minds, nobody's ever done that. Okay, nobody can do that. They know that. By the way, unbelievers constantly put things down because, well, we've never done it before. You know, they can't by faith accept that God can do anything, you know. And so they don't understand that. It's just like the rapture. Well, that can't happen. You can't make everybody vanish. But they can't reason this out. And so they knew of his prediction. So they are going to do everything they can. Stay with me now. To make sure this can't be faked. To make sure, because they knew, hey, if Jesus does what he says he's going to do and he rises from the grave, somehow his disciples steal his body or they do something to make this happen. They said, we're going to be in big trouble. This movement's going to move on. So they did everything possible. Are you listening? Everything they possibly could. These aren't dummies here. These religious leaders, they're dummies as far as how they believe, but they're not dummies as far as they did everything they could with the Roman government to make sure nobody stole that body. They made sure. Make sure those disciples can't steal his body. Now, two things they did that are just, there's no argument about it. And this is all in history that they did. When Jesus died, they took his body and it was put in a tomb sealed with a Roman seal. To break that seal was death to whoever broke it. So, okay, there's a few zealous Baptists that decide, well, we're going to steal his body out of that tomb. We'll go get him, all right? To do that is to risk death. All right, so a group of guys decide, all right, Brother Tim, Brother Kelvin, Brother Don, and Brother Bob, they all get together. They say, all right, we'll go do that, all right? And Don says, hey, don't you know if we break that seal on that tomb, we will die. We will be sentenced to death. Would people do that for what they would know to be a lie, that they had to get him out of there? Of course not. That's totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. But that's not the whole story. Because you also have to remember there were many guards at the tomb. Now, I'm not talking about sissies. I'm talking about guards whose life depended on them guarding that tomb. So let's just say they decided, you know what? We don't care about the Roman seal. We're going to go get into that tomb and get the body out of there. They would have had over 16 guards. I'm talking about big, strong guards that they would have to deal with. You see, all you have to do is kind of think through. I mean, there were 16 guarding Peter when he was in prison, and I'm sure there were many more guarding the tomb of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it was such a crucial thing. They would not want that body to be stolen from there. Huh? I mean, you know, again, all you have to do is kind of think, all right, so how did he get out of the tomb? How could he possibly have gotten out of the tomb? You know what's interesting, and I've preached this before, But, you know, as far as the stone being rolled away, do you know that when the stone was rolled away, he was already gone? Well, why was the stone rolled away? Because so people could see in. Amen. That's the only reason. He was already gone. He walked through the stone. Amen. That wasn't a problem. That's the resurrection body. I'm going to have one of those one of these days. That's awesome. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. But see, all you have to do is just kind of think about that. Okay, if Jesus came out of that tomb, which he did, no question, history says it. If he came out of that tomb, either man removed him or God removed him. Remember the story? It's in the Bible, how the authorities panicked. He's gone, he's gone. Tell him his disciples stole him. Do you understand? I mean, that was their story. That was the spin. Do you understand spin? Just read your paper. You'll see spin. All right? Well, just tell him this. Tell him this. Tell him this. We don't want anybody to believe he really came out of the tomb. Yeah. But he was gone. He was gone. History of the day says he was gone. So, did a bunch of zealous Baptists get him out of there? What'd they do? Fight the guards? What did they do? Break through the Roman seal? What did they do? How did they do it? What tank did they have? No, 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 no. See, if man didn't get him out of there, then God the Father must have raised him from the dead. You know, again, we're talking about defenseless disciples. These aren't soldiers. These are defenseless disciples. No body could be found. Are you listening? History says no body. There was no body there. It was gone. Glory to God. God miraculously raised him from the dead. Another thing is the testimony. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, back to our text, and go on to verse 5. Now again, the gospel is in verses 1 to 4, and it says he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, but it doesn't stop there. It says that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, all the way into Paul's time. But some are fallen asleep. I mean, do you understand? All these people saw him, over 500 people saw him, and were alive for many years telling people, I'm a witness, I saw him. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Now listen to me, you ask any attorney, and the testimony of two or three witnesses can change a trial. We have over 500 people that saw him, testified to it, told people about it. Do you know, you say, yeah, but I didn't see it. Okay, let me give you this then, all right? You love your Constitution? I do. It was signed by a group of men. And no American doubts the signing of that, yet it was witnessed by a smaller group than 500. And yet we believe it. You see, the only reason a person wouldn't believe this is they just don't want to believe it. Because they want to do their own thing and live their own life. Huh? I mean, a group of over 500 people testified, we saw him. We saw him. You can't, you know, you have to understand, that is huge. We saw him. I've preached on this before. You know, the disciples would not have given their lives for a lie. I don't think you would. I mean, the people that will give their lives, they're very zealous because they believe something. If the disciples faked his death, burial and resurrection, would they have died for that? And yet every one of them did. Peter said, crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Would they have? I mean, all you have to do is kind of think about this. The disciples were martyred for the cause of Christ. They preached the resurrection. Would they have died for that if it was a lie? I don't think so. They suffered. You know, many Americans have suffered and died for the cause of freedom for our country. I don't think if they didn't believe in that, I don't think they would have done that. Disciples, come on. If it's a lie, they would say, this is ridiculous. Let's go on about our lives and do our thing. You think about this. Okay, you think about your own life. And again, I'm just giving you some resurrection facts. You think about in your own life, when a loved one dies, there's sorrow. When a leader dies, there's sorrow. Many have a hard time getting over it. Study the disciples. Study their lives. And you know, at first, there was some sorrow. They did struggle. But try to explain. Try to explain their lives after the resurrection. Something happened. Something changed their mind. Something took them from sorrow to rejoicing and to blazing the trail with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what it was. They saw him. They believed it. They knew about the resurrection. Their lives literally were changed. Hey, has your life been changed? Has Jesus changed your life? Has he saved you? Has he changed your life? I can testify, you know, God changed my life. Totally. Completely. A 180. I'm going one way. I trust Christ as Savior. I'm going a totally different way. I'm telling you, the resurrection is a wonderful, there is a great proof. Just study their lives. Why? Why would that happen? So many things. The angels testified, he is not here, for he is risen. You know, the angels said that. The demons in Acts chapter 19, Jesus, I know, they said. They said, Jesus, I know. Demons said that. They didn't say, Jesus, I knew. Yeah, demons know he rose. That's their fear. Do you know, those demons in Acts chapter 19 are more of a believer than a lot of people in our world today. How about you know, the testimony? I think about time. I think about one time a young Jew said to a preacher named Harry Rimmer, said, what did Jesus do that no one else did? The preacher said, 30,000 Jews were crucified. Name one other than Jesus. Interesting thought. Seriously. There were 30,000 Jews crucified under Roman rule. Name one other than Jesus. Do you know why we name the name of Jesus? Because he rose. The others didn't. One of them still alive. That's Jesus. Somebody wrote to Curtis Hudson one time. I love this. They said, of course, Curtis Hudson used to be the editor of the Sword of the Lord until he went to heaven. But a man wrote in and said, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? Brother Hudson replied, dear so-and-so, beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails 39 times, nail him to a cross, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, embalm him, put him in an airless tomb for 72 hours, and see what happens. Now, folks, just think about that, all right? Do you think the Roman guards, the one that shoved the spear up into his side that would pierce his heart, do you think, you know, the whole idea there was that they be dead? Okay, do you think somehow he just blew it? Do you think somehow they just messed up? They wanted him dead. Oh, no, he died. He was buried. He rose again. No question about that. Testimony. Everyone saw it. He was wound in the spices, the embalming. Try getting embalmed sometime. Go ask your local mortician. Could you embalm me and then we just change our mind? They're going to look at you like, you're a nut. Yeah, why? Because it doesn't work that way. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. It's just all of this is these are facts backed up by the Word of God, backed up by witnesses. These are the resurrection facts that should cause you to believe and rejoice today. The third thing is the resurrection force. What is this power? What did it do? We already talked about in Romans 4:25. The Bible says he was raised for our justification. It means we're no longer guilty. I mean, he was raised again from the dead. That's why if you're here today without Christ, you've not been saved. Then my friend, you are guilty before God Almighty. But when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, he says, I justified you. I made it so you are no longer guilty before my Father, the judge. Resurrection force. What power is in the resurrection? In Romans chapter 1 verse 4, also use this, but go ahead and turn there. Romans 1 verse 4. The resurrection force declares the deity of Jesus Christ. There is no longer any question as to who Jesus is. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. If he doesn't rise, he's just another person, just like anyone else. But his deity is declared by the resurrection of Christ. Well, another thing that is so crucial in the force of the resurrection is it assures our resurrection. That's what I like. Because I know the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. We all die. I'm going to talk about that tonight. I hope you come back tonight, really, for the cantata. But. The resurrection of Christ assures our resurrection. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Several verses about this. We'll not look at all of them, but I want you to get this. Because I want you to understand why it's so important to us. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 14. By the way, passage of scripture we use all the time, especially in these days. I think Jesus is coming soon. I really do. I'm looking for this day. I'm looking for this passage to be fulfilled in my day, and I'm excited about that. But it says, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. By the way, if he doesn't rise, he's not meeting anybody in the air, because he's not. Oh, glory to God. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know how many funerals I've done, but I've done a whole bunch of them. And just about every one of them, I read this passage of scripture at the cemetery. And in my mind, I see that person busting out of that thing one of these days. And I don't care what kind of warranty, and Jamie and I, we talk about that. He does the vaults and all that. Doesn't matter how strong that vault is. Doesn't matter what that person, that body is in. Doesn't matter how far down they're buried. Doesn't matter how far down in the ocean, how deep they've gone. They're coming up when God's trumpet sounds. And why? How? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's it. By the way, verse 13, it goes on. It says before all that, it says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know these things. He said, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those who don't believe in the resurrection, they have no hope. I preach a lot of funerals. I preach one where I wasn't sure if the person was saved. And most of the people there were not saved. And I'm telling you, there's a difference. There is a difference. There's a difference in people that have hope and people that have no hope. All you have to do is just kind of look around at the faces of the people. You see, his resurrection assures our resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Oh, I mean, that's a promise from God. John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live also. 1 Corinthians 15:20, in our passage. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And the first fruits are the assurance of the main harvest later on. We're coming. We're going up someday. Up from the grave. He arose. And one of these days, after millions of years in heaven, we'll say, up from the grave. We arose. Amen. And we'll talk about it. And it's real. It's the force of the resurrection. You say, I just don't know how that could be. How could it be that Jesus came out of the tomb? That's the same way you're going to come out too, if you're saved. Oh, you ought to get saved today. You ought to get saved today. The resurrection force, it completes the gospel. Because obviously, you know, the Bible says in our passage that we read, I declare unto you the gospel, minus verse 4, that he was buried and he rose again, minus those three words, he rose again, there is no gospel. Minus he rose again, he was dead and he was buried, and that was it. And that's the story of every person who's ever lived. But he rose again. He rose again. He rose again. Glory to God. And you know what? He rose again. That's good news. That is good news. That's how at cemetery after cemetery after cemetery here in Michigan, on cold days, on hot days, there in Louisiana, on hot days, there in Indiana, many, many cemeteries, I've stood, and no matter what the weather, no matter what the time, I've been able to say, all those times, so many times, I've been able to say, glory to God, this isn't the end. It's not the end. That's good news. Whereas so many funerals, you've been to them, where the guy reads his prayer. The guy reads his little thing that he says, and it's so sad. But you know, that's somebody who perhaps doesn't believe in the resurrection. And so it would be sad, wouldn't it? Because if it doesn't say he rose again, it's just simply he died, he was buried, the end. That is sad. That'd be sad for you. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'd be sad if that's what I thought. I'd have a hard time even going on every day if that's what I thought. Honestly, why get up in the morning? Well, you say life's okay. No. That's not what most people say. They say life's terrible. I hear it all the time. Especially unsaved people. You know? Oh, they're partying, having a good time. Yeah, and with every drunken party that takes place is the hangover the next day. I feel so miserable. Huh? I'm just telling you, you know what? The hope, the blessed hope, the resurrection, it completes the gospel. It is good news. It is proof that God accepted the price for our sins. Because when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. And I believe the resurrection is God the Father's amen. Seal, it's done. And it's complete. And now you can be saved. He bore your sin. He bore my sin. And there's so many proofs of his death, his burial, his resurrection. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The resurrection force is the force that saved me as a 17-year-old boy. It's a force that has taken many who were alcoholics and cleaned them up, and drug addicts and changed their life, and people that have been in jail, and people that have been in trouble, and people whose lives were a mess and they had no purpose in life. It's that resurrection force that would change your life today and give you hope for the future. Resurrection force. The last thing I want to show you is number 4, and that is resurrection fervor. Go to Acts 4:33 and we'll be done. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And the Bible says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And you know, they just went out and they made, the Bible says, no small stir everywhere they went. The resurrection fervor. You know, it should encourage you today. It should encourage you. Up from the grave, he arose. Boy, that choir special, that was so good. Man, that excites me. It should encourage. You say, oh, the economy's no good. Yeah, but up from the grave he arose. Well, I went to the doctor. Doctor says I'm not doing too hot. Yeah, none of us are. We're dying. I just wanted to be an encouragement to you. Hey, you know what? Up from the grave he arose. Oh, death! Where is thy sting? Old death comes in and says, I'm going to get you. It is. It is going to get you. It really is. It's appointed unto man once to die. Lest the rapture takes place, it's going to get you. It's going to get you in a car wreck. It's going to get you from the inside out. It's going to get you some way. It's going to get you. Oh, death, where's your sting? Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about that tonight. You ought to come back. It ought to encourage you. It ought to excite you. The resurrection. He arose. Most Christians, it's like, hey, did you hear about the resurrection? Yeah, I got a chocolate egg. Oh, big deal. Yeah, it's going to kill you sooner. But you'll die with a smile on your face. Amen. Hey, you know, it ought to encourage us. It ought to excite us. It ought to engage us in work. Man, we ought to get busy. Why? That's what the disciples did when they saw, woo, he arose. Let's go watch TV. Oh, let's go tell everybody. It's good news. There's enough bad news, isn't there? Yeah. Up from the grave. Every Easter, I think about funerals I've done. I think about standing out there at the cemetery and folks crying. I've done both my grandparents' funerals, did my mom and dad's funeral. I stood and watched them close the casket. I never advise families to watch that. It's kind of a tough thing. I remember watching them close caskets on my parents before they took them out and put them down in the ground. But you know, the exciting thing about that is because of the resurrection, we're going to see each other again. I can't help. Saw Jessica when she came in this morning. I thought about Mike Kerwicki. I remember the funeral service. I remember those months before the Lord took him. Really, it was very unexpectedly to me because I was looking for a place for Mike, looking for a home for him. Had been looking all around, found a place maybe he could rent, and we were all excited about that, and just going through all of that, and just thinking about Mike and how he's in his home now. I was thinking about the most recent funeral, Mel Gilbert, and how he liked to go camping, and as I think of the resurrection, I think about old Mel out there in the backwoods of his mansion area there. Oh yeah, you got a backwoods. Everybody's got to have a backwoods with a pond and everything. And I see him there sitting at his campfire, and I'm going to see him again. See, you say, preacher, how could you preach your own family's funerals? I can do that because I know that's not the end. Yeah, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow like others who have no hope. We sorrow because we're going to miss them for a little while. But one of these days, because he rose, they're going to rise. I'm going to rise. And one of these days, we may not have to go through all that other stuff. He may just come get us, and they'll be there. What a glorious thing. If you're here today and you don't have that hope and you say, that guy's nuts, you wish you believed like I believe, don't you? Because you've been at the cemetery too. Yeah, you've said goodbye to someone too, but you didn't know if you'd ever see him again. Why don't you get saved today? Why don't you trust Christ today? Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes.